We will soon see what Nancy Pelosi wants to do about sending the articles of impeachment to the Senate for trial. Democrats don't know whether to cry or wail, since their call for witnesses at the Senate trial would involve Democrats like Joe and Hunter Biden, Adam Schiff, Jerry Nadler, and even Pelosi herself being called. The truth is, the House of Representatives is tasked with proving a case of impeachment against a president. The House did not prove a case, and yet they did move to impeach. They realize now they screwed up, and now they want the Senate to prove the case for them. That's not the Senate's job. Pelosi should send over the articles, and the Senate should vote on whether or not to impeach this president. Donald Trump represents the greatest danger for the Democrat Party, and that's why they are mindlessly stalking the man. We've only seen the tip of the iceberg of corruption under the Obama administration and the Clinton Foundation thievery. Democrats are desperate to stop Trump's investigations of them. Our economy is the greatest it's been in decades under Trump's administration. But the Democrats are perfectly willing to destroy all of our gains to take Trump's heat of them off the table. When Benghazi was under attack, several calls went out to Barack Hussein Obama and Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State, begging for help. Obama went to bed. Hillary did nothing to save our staff in Benghazi. 3 Americans died that night brutally, one of them our ambassador to Iraq. Contrast that to a single call to the Trump administration, which brought an immediate response. Troops were dispatched without delay to protect our embassy staff in Baghdad. Donald Trump is no Hussein Obama or Hillary Clinton. Iran was just reminded that these 2 weak politicians were no longer in office, and that Trump will act promptly to any provocation endangering Americans. No one wants war, but in the case of Iran and North Korea, it may become necessary. This country cannot afford to allow these belligerent regimes to taunt or attack us like they did with the Baghdad embassy. Democrats would be wise to acknowledge that we live in a dangerous world, and our military strength is all that stands between us and foreign invasion. We cannot afford weak leaders like Pete Buttigieg, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, or Joe Biden. Donald Trump may not be the answer for a welcome wagon hostess or host, but he is the answer for America's safety and prosperity. We should all pause from time to time to re-examine our lives in a world where charges like racist, homophobe, chauvinist are tossed around like used tissue paper. It's important to look within ourselves. Are we any of those things? If not, why should we remain silent? The attacks on white men today are unprecedented. Without white men in battle, the Revolutionary War would have been lost to the British. All of America's wars and conflicts have been won through the great majority of white soldiers. That's not to downgrade the contributions of men of color. It's just a simple fact. I was born a white male. I had no hand in that decision. That was a decision made by God, and I never questioned God's decisions. I am now an old white man who is under fire for the color of my skin and my age. Racist hate is the left's new normal. Progressive Insurance is owned by a avowed liberal who is, ironically, an old white man. They continue to run insurance commercials to undermine parents. Those ads are offensive and designed to make young people question the worth of the very parents who gave them life. The ads state that we can't help you from becoming like your parents. The inference is that the parents of these young people are inferior, and their offspring must be wary of them. I don't spend any money with Progressive Insurance, and anyone who does should rethink their priorities. Is it a bad thing for your children to become like you? And if so, why? A great way to destroy our country from the inside is to create animosity where none exists. This old white man volunteered and is a proud Navy veteran with a firm belief in God and appreciation for the sacrifice Jesus made for me and to enable me and mankind to come to God in prayer, confess our sins, and seek forgiveness. I have been married to the same woman for almost 55 years. Promises mean something to me. Our daughter received a college education due to our love for her and the work we had put in to allow her to graduate with no college debt. Our two precious granddaughters will receive a college education, God willing, and leave there with no debt to repay. None of them relied on gifts or grants or scholarships, leaving all of that for more needy students. This old white man rose up from poverty to provide jobs for thousands of people in broadcasting. One driving force in this old white man's life has been to build a reputation where my daughter and grandchildren could speak my name in public without shame. This old white man stepped in to take care of his parents when they could no longer take care of themselves. They could stay in their home in peace. And along the way, this old white man has helped several young people through college, blacks and whites, and provided much-needed financial gifts or loans without interest to people down on their luck, black people as well as whites. Many community events, from Virginia to Texas and from Florida to Wisconsin, still thrive today, which were set into place by my radio stations. I treat all people the same. Skin color means nothing to me. I look at character, not color. I detest racism, whether it comes from a white person or a black person. I especially detest people who brand others as racists without knowing a thing about that person's background or character. And I abhor race hustlers who keep us divided. If I do not agree with a person's lifestyle, it does not mean I'm a homophobe. It simply means that their lifestyle is not for me. I say all of this not to applaud myself, but to question why my children or grandchildren should be concerned about becoming like me. I venture that most of you old white men are like me. My commentary today was aided by research from the Evans News Report. Granted, like every other person on earth, old white men are far from perfect. But to infer that because one is white and an elder, they should not be emulated by their children is the height of stupidity. It is despicable. It is, well, liberal. Just when it seems that the now radicalized left couldn't sink any deeper, they go out and create so-called art, where they dress white men up as Trump supporters, sporting MAGA hats and all, and have them barking, growling, and acting like savages. Meanwhile, their masters, holding leashes, were both male and female people of color, as well as both male and female LGBTQs walking the supposed dogs. They put out a casting call that read, "Needed, male Caucasian to be human dogs, male female people of color to be dog walkers, and male female LGBTQs to be dog walkers." To submit for a role in this project, please RSVP and direct mail to us ASAP And tell us a little about yourself, as spots are expected to fill up fast. The white males dressed up as MAGA Trump-supporting Americans were paraded through Hollywood as people took pictures, laughed, and applauded the hate performance until they reached the Donald J. Trump Hollywood Walk of Fame star on the sidewalk. According to a press release from the activist group Incline, over 24 men and women of color and members of the LGBTQ community placed leashes on custom-made dog collars on white men in red MAGA hats and walked them on all fours up and down Hollywood Boulevard last March. This performance group called their performance Hate Breed, saying that the white men all wore dog collars with tags that read "Racist White Man," as they said it speaks to race relations in America. This actually happened. A broad brush statement of hate from a community of misfits in our society. Ultimately, it is ironic. That is, those on the left who claim discrimination. But it's the conservatives, the Christians, and white people, especially white men, who are the most discriminated against, mistreated, demeaned, trashed, ridiculed, and assaulted on what seems anymore to be a daily basis, and nearly always with no provocation. Today, the Democrat Party and their left-wing ideologues have become the party of hate, as they have returned to the roots of racial disparities and discrimination. Sadly, the Democrat Party over the years has become the party that encouraged illegal immigration, Muslim resettlement into the United States, Sharia law, which is incompatible with our Constitution, progressive socialism, liberalism, gun control, abortion, infanticide, the murder of innocent babies, the redistribution of income, and socialized health care. Democrats tout themselves as the party of inclusion. However, this narrative has been one that has been falling apart and has proven not to be inclusive at all. In fact, Democrats, being truly the party of the Ku Klux Klan, the party who fought against the freedom of slaves, and the party who fought against giving black people the right to vote, have been able to spin their web of lies in a well-done manipulation of the facts, a manipulation that has accused Republicans, and especially conservatives, of being the very force of hatred that they have themselves enacted and continue to enact upon our society. Now, like the farce I described earlier in Hollywood, this very year, travesties like that are becoming the new normal. America is returning to the land of hate and discrimination as elitist politicians fight to reinstitute hate as the Democrat Party's new mantra. Armed with the intent to undermine Trump's influence and to establish the belief that conservative white males are genetically flawed, historical figures are being unfairly held to 21st century cultural and political standards. Even Confederate General Robert E. Lee, tucked away in a grave since 1870, has not escaped retroactive ridicule from the left for his political identification and pale skin color. If we are going to exact 21st century standards on historical groups and figures, all statues of Democrats in the era of the Ku Klux Klan have to be taken down. West Virginia must remove all mentions of their Senator Robert Byrd, who was once a Klan leader. And Lyndon Johnson must be maligned in our future because he was a confirmed racist and hypocritical about it. Today, even a male Supreme Court justice nominee, if he is Christian, white, and pro-life, can be falsely accused of rape by an unstable female activist, flayed alive, and condemned in the court of public opinion by virtue of race, gender, and ethnic heritage. Unwilling to let a visual opportunity go to waste, the left has somehow managed to influence public opinion concerning the political merits of red versus pink. According to progressive liberals, on the head of a female, a pink vagina hat is a commendable accessory, while on the head of a male, a red MAGA cap is akin to incurring a scarlet letter or analogous to a white hood of the KKK. Remember back when Columbus Day was a national holiday deserving of a parade and it was mandatory that a black woman strip at a party for Duke lacrosse players before falsely accusing white men of rape? That black woman, Crystal Mangum, not only lied about the Duke lacrosse players, but later she killed her boyfriend and today sits in prison. Nowadays, an indigenous person named Nathan Phillips is to a Covington Catholic schoolboy what a black American woman named Tawana Brawley, Al Sharpton's hoax, was to four men in Wappinger Falls, New York. Speaking of Christopher Columbus, despite having somewhat of a shady past, activist American Indian and Obama elder Nathan Phillips was lauded in the media as a hero for getting into the face of white boys whose smile was all the evidence the left needed to condemn those kids for a racial crime. Meanwhile, in Indiana, a European elder was being characterized as problematic, demoted, and stripped from an American university for the sin of discovering the New World. Rest assured, in keeping with the current nationwide anti-white male mood, after peeling Columbus's image from the wall, Notre Dame would score mega points with progressives if they covered the European voyager and his Christian symbols with a mural depicting an indigenous American Indian walking around with a tomahawk. Today's holier-than-thou generation pretends to be sin-free while attacking historical figures for their sins. Sort of like a womb being shot up with saline and a baby being burned alive with no way to escape. The left's ire towards white men has gotten so far out of hand that in an effort to advance the progressive liberal agenda, those who support purging the planet of white men went so far as to suggest locking Caucasian teenagers inside of a building and burning them alive. In other words, if you are a conservative white male, you are not allowed to smile at an American Indian elder. But if you're a liberal white male, you are allowed to threaten to lock up high school boys inside a building and torching it to the ground. Either way, while making heroes of illegals and anti-American agitators on the left, they're more emboldened than ever to condemn Caucasian Christian men for things like their choice of hats, respecting the sanctity of life, and supporting a sitting president. On the other hand, male religious racists like black Hebrew Israelites, Muslim imams, illegal invaders, and indigenous tribal elders pretending to be Vietnam veterans are feted by the left as true champions of American ideals. Even Barack Hussein Obama, the self-proclaimed advocate of racial justice, did his part to tamp down the self-esteem of white men, while, when still president, he described white policemen as men who acted stupidly, barricaded mostly white aged veterans from visiting the World War II memorial, and proclaimed teenaged black boys the only brothers worthy of being kept. The communist Saul Alinsky's rule number 10 recommends that social justice warriors maintain a constant pressure on the opposition. That's why, just prior to pro-life Caucasian males in red MAGA hats, caps being excoriated by the media for daring to respond to racial and religious taunting with nothing more than a smile. The Gillette Razor Company thought it was a good time, as good a time as any, to enter the fray by depicting men without color as cave-dwelling bullies. In the end, to advance their agenda, progressives will continue to hammer away at white conservative males, both dead or alive, as well as to attempt to establish a radical vision for our nation by undermining the reputation of any man who longs to see America great again. Just as community organizer Saul Alinsky, in his textbook for Marxist street thugs entitled Rules for Radicals, advised his followers, who included Hillary Clinton, constant drumbeats have the potential to wear down resolve and win social and cultural wars. For years now, the object of left-wing pressure has been to undermine the status and reputation of straight, white, conservative males. To eradicate the white guy problem in America, Caucasians with XY chromosomes, who self-identify as the same sex they were at birth, are being portrayed by the left as misogynists, bigoted, homophobes, violent troublemakers in need of exposure, chastisement, and in the case of Donald Trump, ousted from power. Quite often, we tend to see symptoms and think they are the core problem. The left's hate of white people, and especially white men, is one of these. And it seems sensible to see it that way. But frankly, that's the 100-foot view. Pull back to the 5,000-foot view, and you will see it merely as a symptom. Ironically, Democrats see no hypocrisy in old white liberals attacking all white men. They don't exclude any white men except themselves. If you're white, you're automatically a racist, bigot, homophobe, misogynist, and any other derogatory term they can come up with. The left is first and foremost an ideology that hates capitalism, individual freedom, and the Constitution. You can easily see this if you simply look at the left in ethically monolithic nations. Our left is no different than theirs. Ours simply use tactics appropriate to the location they find themselves in. Here, the greatest obstacle to the left's goals in terms of eliminating freedom and capitalism is our Constitution. Once we realize that, their reason for hating whites and white men in specific becomes clear. It's a tool to delegitimize their primary hindrance to their goals. You've heard them say, the Constitution was written by old white men who owned slaves, therefore it's no good. The left doesn't actually give a damn about minorities in any shape or form, and only pretend to because they can count on their votes. But make no mistake, a black friend of mine who is liberal himself just told me that blacks are beginning to take note that the left is fully prepared to abandon all of their "we'll help blacks" rhetoric for "we support Hispanic immigrants, legal or illegal." They're nothing more than a tool. The left actually cares about neither. What the left does care about is two things: eliminating individual freedom and eliminating capitalism. All else is simply stuff they think will work to do it. If the left woke up tomorrow and all the minorities were huge fans of the Constitution, and all white people were suddenly closet Marxists, the left would suddenly make the KKK look somewhat reasonable on race. In December of 2018's Limbaugh letter, it highlighted actual quotations from people in the media, academia, and the political and entertainment arenas. The attack of white men as a class, Don Lemon, a CNN anchorman, said, "We have to stop demonizing people and realize that the biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized to the right, and we have to start doing something about them." This bigoted man is black and actually sleeps with a white man. Anybody see hypocrisy there? Stephen Clifford, former King Broadcasting CEO, said this, "I will be leading a great movement to prohibit straight white men who I believe supported Donald Trump by about 85% from exercising their right to vote, and I think it will save democracy." Teen Vogue, a magazine targeted toward teenage girls, wrote this, "Not only is white male terrorism as dangerous as Islamic extremism, but our collective safety rests in rooting out the source of their radicalization." James Livingston, a Rutgers history professor, a man paid to teach young minds, said, "Okay, officially hate white people. I hereby resign from my race." Not to be outdone, entertainers have hopped on the demonizing white man bandwagon. Joy Behar on ABC's The View said about senators supporting Brett Kavanaugh, "These white men, old by the way, are protecting a man who is probably guilty." Behar spoke as judge and jury. She herself is old, ugly, and not qualified to pass judgment on someone who is not proven guilty. As for liberal hate, the aging one-dimensional actor Robert De Niro called for someone to throw a bag of human waste into the face of the President of the United States in public to humiliate him. De Niro is an irrational leftist with a filthy mouth and mind to match. Can you imagine the uproar if someone had called for that against Barack Hussein Obama? American cities would be on fire after having been looted. And that's just a small partial list of statements that would be viewed and condemned as racist simply by replacing white men with black men, Mexican men, or Asian men. You can bet the rent money that university presidents and media executives would sanction or fire any of their employees for making a similar broad-sweeping statement about non-white men. There are only two ways to explain the silence by people who should and do know better. Either they agree with the sentiments expressed or they are out of control cowards. Decent American people ought to soundly reject and condemn this brazen attack on white men. This is your husband, your uncle, your father, your grandfather, your boyfriend, your brother, your son or grandson they're condemning. We must rise to confront hate speech, any hate speech, wherever we find it. And we find it in the attack on white men. It's time for a change. I thank you for joining me today. I hope you had a great Christmas. And I hope you have a wonderful new year. It's going to depend upon many things. But we can be in control of most of that unless we just sit back and let the world be taken over by Democrats, liberal Democrats, who would turn this country to socialism in a moment and are trying to. Thank you again for listening. I'll be back again next week, God willing, same time, same station.